Today on Real Radio.
It's a good thing to instill the wisdom of God's word in the hearts of their children that they'll be wise kids. And wise kids make wise adults. Wise adults make great citizens and, of course, great Christians.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We begin a mini-series taken from chapters 6 and 7. The section contains the famous admonition by Paul not to be, as he puts it, unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Our teacher, Pastor Jack Hibbs, gives us the culture and history behind the expression and what it really all means. It's a lesson called Come Over Here. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
2 Corinthians chapter 6, hold your place there by way of introduction. The title this morning is Come Over Here. Will you write that down? Come Over Here. And I think it's appropriate that the title be something that came from me personally. Why? Because Paul's writing in this section is extremely personal. So here's how I got the title. Oh my goodness, it must have been close to 30 years ago, 27 years ago. Our youngest daughter, Ashley, was crawling, very active, very fast. She's very athletic. She was then, still is. And she, we didn't have an ironing board. And I'm sure Lisa thought I had control of Ashley. I thought she had control of Ashley. But we also had a brand new iron, hot iron, you know, iron? And it was hot. And we set it down on the floor because we would iron our clothes on our bed with a towel. And by the grace of God, in one millisecond of time, both of us happened to have looked, realizing maybe without words, I don't have her, you don't have her, who has her? And we looked, and Ashley had been crawling to this bright iron that looked like a mirror to her, I'm sure. It was so shiny, and she was looking at her reflection on that hot plate, and as we got to her, her lips were just ever so far away from kissing the iron. You can imagine what that would have done. And right then, we, and this had to be God, because normally I would have said, hey, or stop it, or what are you doing? You know, something harsh. And both of us, with a tender voice, said, come here, Ashley. Come here, Ashley. To lure her away from impending doom, impending pain and sorrow and disfigurement. And she turned, and it allowed us enough time to get there and to scoop her up. And when I was putting this message together, that's the title, because I saw that picture in my mind. We didn't yell at her. We didn't say, hey, what are you doing? We said, come here, Ashley. And she made a choice. You see, Jack, she was like one. I know that, but she made a choice. She made the choice to not go any further and to come to us. Will you remember that in this study and in this little mini-series? Will you remember that? When God speaks to you, church, listen, he doesn't say, hey, what are you doing? He doesn't say, hey, knucklehead or dope, stop it. When God speaks to us, we'll see it in his word today. He will say, hey, come here, Bill. Come here, Susie. Come here. He speaks in such terms that if we are listening, we will break off from that temptation of seeing ourselves maybe in the reflection of that pursuit and go to him. Because he's got everything better than what this world can offer. And Paul is approaching the Corinthian believers in this section in a most remarkable way. And you're going to get that. I think you'll get that in detail. By way of background, will you write this verse down in 1 Corinthians 4:15? In 1 Corinthians 4:15, Paul wrote, "For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ," a lot of teachers, "yet you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." Paul is saying to the church at Corinth, hey, remember, this church started there in Greece by my efforts. And Paul said, I take that very seriously. In a sense, I gave birth to you spiritually. And you've got a lot of teachers, but you only have one spiritual pop. And Paul is saying to the Corinthian believers that he was the one. And listen, any parent that has any care at all, you want your child, do you not want your child to grow up better than you did? In fact, the title of that book is Turnaround at Home, and the subtitle is Leaving a Spiritual Legacy Stronger Than You Received. That's the whole goal to the book. Well, that's the whole goal for ministry. Look, I want you to grow up stronger than I grew up spiritually. And I want your children to grow up stronger than you're growing up. And we want them safer, don't we? We want our kids safer. We want our kids stronger. We want our kids more successful. I mean all this in Jesus. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't believe in success when you divorce yourself from God. That's not success. That's death. When I talk about safety, I'm talking about safety, walking with God, safe from this world. How do you galvanize somebody against the dangers of this world, socially and ethically and morally? There's only one way. Raise them strong in the ways of God. That's how you galvanize them against the wicked weather of the world. You prepare them that way. That's why, look, every year we have our Super Swordsman event, and we have graduation on that second service of every year. We've got hundreds of these kids who memorize, not verses, but chunks of passages of Scripture, because the parents believe it's a good thing to instill the wisdom of God's Word in the hearts of their children, that they'll be wise kids. And wise kids make wise adults. Wise adults make great citizens and, of course, great Christians. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence. By the way, that's a command of God. That's a command. God says, keep your heart with all diligence. Guard it. Watch out for it. Be careful. Look, everybody, I'm going to keep reading that verse. Keep your heart, that's incumbent upon us. No one else can do this. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. Keep your heart with all diligence. Pour everything you can, 24/7, into the protection and nurturing of your heart. I'll explain about what your heart is in a moment. For out of it, what? The heart springs forth or comes out the issues of life. What you put into your heart will dictate your life. If you are a person growing up criticized, critiqued, you can never live up to the standard. You can never make the grade. You can read that in the book because that's the life I grew up in. Then you have a tendency to be very hard on yourself, and you have a tendency to be very hard on people if that doesn't change. If you're not changed, you'll grow up that way. If you are very lenient, if you are very, very lackadaisical, then that's going to come out in how you deal with people as well. But the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence. And that word heart is your actual, the core of your life. Some Bible translations put it your bowels. And you say, well, that's not a very nice word to put in there. Yeah, I know, it doesn't sound nice, but it's more accurate. It means the part of you when something joyful or catastrophic hits you. Notice you don't actually feel it in your heart. Have you noticed that in this zone? You know where you feel it. In fact, when people get very, very distraught and very, very upset, or they're very much prone now because of the issue to worry, often what happens is it affects their intestinal system and it causes other problems to happen, sometimes immediately. Why? Because the power of what's going on can affect you so quick. You can hear some news and be almost in a rush with joy. Almost like a drug. And then you can hear some news and you are devastated and brought to the point where you fall on your knees. And within moments, I've seen people get bad news and begin to vomit. And that's the exact word where the Bible says, keep your heart. Christian, every one of us, we are to nurture and guard and build a fence around our heart, meaning what we allow into our lives, and that's very critical for where we're going right now. Borders, boundaries, a moral or ethical fence would be keeping the heart. So look now with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we'll begin at verse 11, and we'll end at verse 1 of chapter 7, because somebody I don't know why they put the chapter break there. It wasn't supposed to be there. Did you know that? They messed it up. I think it was put in the 1300s. Did you know when the Bible was written, it had no chapter numbers? You understand that? So we have to finish eventually at verse 1, but we'll read all the way through now. He says, O Corinthians, and that little O doesn't seem like much to you, but it is a cry from his heart. O Calvary Chapelers. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now, in return for the same, I speak as to children, you also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? That's a name of Satan. Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, verse 1, chapter 7, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Church, mark it down. It's our one and only point this morning. When I say come over here, I hope you can hear the word of Paul, which brings forth this one and only point. It is come over here, mark it down, and here. Can you write that down? And here. That's it. Here. Hear what God is saying. Hear what Paul is saying to the brethren at Corinth. It's rather precious. When he says there, you saw it, and hopefully you picked up on it. He says, O Corinthians. That's a term of endearment. He talks about near at the end in verse 18. God says, I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me. And then look, he says in verse 1 of chapter 7, Paul speaks, and he uses there right in the middle of the verse. He says, therefore, having these promises, what? What does he say? Beloved. All tenderness. Do you get that? There's no yelling in this. You see, it's so awesome what he's saying, because he's going to talk about some really serious things here. He's going to talk about coming out from among the world and being separate. The word is tender to you. See, today you're going to hear it either, come out from among the world and be separate, and you're going to push back from that. You're going to resist it. Look, you might even be involved in stuff you ought not to be involved in, but when it's put forth in a hard way, it doesn't help you to get out of it. But if you are lovingly reached, it's amazing to me. God so wants to speak to us in terms that draw us away from what we are involved in with invitations of love. Listen, a moment ago, so many of you, if not all of you, raised your hands about being married, and probably a great bulk of you have got kids. And if you constantly tell your kids, no, sit, stop it, stay there, don't do that, get down, no. That kid, you may not realize it or not, but that kid is going to grow up knowingly or unknowingly coming to this conclusion. I am not going to approach my dad or my mom for anything. I already have been programmed. They don't know how to talk like this yet. But they have been programmed to believe that I already know the answer. So I'm not going to tell them. I already know the answer, so I'm not going to go there. I'm going to seek counsel with someone else. Listen, parents, that'll break your heart if your kids seek counsel, ungodly counsel. Nobody loves them like you do. But the term is this, that when we reach out, like God is reaching out to the body of Christ, like Paul is reaching out to the church at Corinth, he's saying, oh, Corinthians, it's tender. I've got to tell you about something, because you guys know by now, the Corinthian church was very carnal. They were messed up. And rather than beating them up, Paul invites them to enter into a relationship that they ought to know well about. Come over here and hear this way. Number one, hear the heart. Verses 11 to 13, hear the heart. O Corinthians, he says, we have spoken openly. This is awesome. I appreciate this in this time and age of our 21st century Christianity. He says, Corinthian Christians, I, Paul, and my ministry team, we have spoken to you in such a way that is purely, absolutely authentic. There's no charlatanism in what we're doing. There's no games. We are ministers of the gospel, and what we've spoken to you about, it's real. Do you want that? Church, don't you want that? I want that. Nobody wants, and people are sick of, a false Christianity. It can't relate because it's not authentic. And that would mean that someone is one way in front of people or their friends or whatever, and different off the platform, out of the pulpit. And personally, I believe that God will judge that. And yet we see it happening all over the place. Paul, what a great lesson for every minister of the gospel or for any of us who are serving in anything. Well, for that matter, if you have a husband or a wife, you are a servant of the Most High God. Look, let's be honest. Those of you who are single, I'm not knocking it, but it's very, very easy to be single. You say, oh yeah, no it's not. Look, I used to be single. And the battles you have as a single person ain't nothing compared to the battles you have as a married person. And all the married people said, amen. It is wild. You've got to learn how to read that person. Lisa and I have been married 34 years. I'm still trying to figure that out. I've almost given up. It's kind of like, I don't know, Lisa, how should I answer that? Or, I don't know, Lisa, what should I do about that? Because it's like, what? Because you guys know, I'm just talking to the men right now, just men. We can be told one thing, but tomorrow it's a different thing. It's the same question. Same question, different answer, Monday to Tuesday. It's like, that's why the Bible, Peter says, men, husbands, dwell with your wives according to understanding. Did you know that's impossible? That's why every husband needs to wake up praying and asking God for guidance. Oh God, give me understanding today. And you say, you know, what do you do? What are you saying this for? I'm saying it affectionately this way because it's a ministry. Marriage is a ministry. Look, when you're single, it's like, what do I want? I don't know. What do we want? I don't know. You want to do this? Yes, I do. It's me, myself, and I. And we're in perfect unity all the time. It's this single, unholy trinity. It's all about me. And then you get married, and she says, I want to go this way, and you want to go that way. And if you say, we're going this way. Now, there's people who do this. There are men or women in their lives, and they say, this is the way that it is. We're going to do it this way. Man, I don't know if that's a marriage. There's got to be a dialogue, and it would be better if she or he would say, you know, honey, if we go this way, I think you're going to like it. Well, then, here's the car keys. Let's go. A tenderness to it. And he's saying, oh, Corinthians. And Paul is reaching them. We've spoke openly. We've hidden nothing from you. That's what he means. We've hidden nothing from you. Our heart is wide open. We've got nothing to hide from you, Corinthians. Now look at this, verse 12. You are not restricted by us. Listen, this word restriction is brought down to a narrow place. You've not been squeezed into ineffectiveness by us, but by your own restrictions you've placed upon your own affections. Say, Jack, what does that mean? It's awesome. Listen. Paul says, Corinthians, you've heard a bunch of stuff about Paul and about the ministry of the gospel from other people. A lot of legalists want to mess you up. And I'm here to tell you something. Your life has been restricted towards us as apostles. You don't give us love. In fact, today we would say, where's the love? Paul says, our hearts have been wide open to you guys. We've not kept anything back. We've loved you openly, Corinthians, but you've not returned the love. We didn't restrict you. You've restricted yourself in sharing love. And this opens up a whole can of spiritual worms. As Christians, we are to, look, it's common. Is it not the absolute real commandment? If we love God, we're going to love one another. If we withhold love for one another, that doesn't mean everything's going to be smooth all the time, but we are mandated to love one another. Do we as a family have arguments as a church together? Look, if you have them in your earthly family, you're going to have them in spiritual families. So what do you do about that? You shoot somebody? You beat them up? No. Listen, you reconcile. God mandates it. Why? Because God wants you to be reconciled with him. When you're upset with God, we've all been upset with God. I don't know if I was accepting God's will completely this weekend. I absolutely hate Santa Ana winds. I hate them. I can't see any good that comes out of them unless you own a tree service. They're the worst. And they started blowing. And you, if you knew me and my family, they hear me pray all the time. I'm not joking. Dear God, please don't let Santa Ana winds come this year, please. Now, 2 years ago, they didn't come because I prayed. It's true. And destruction everywhere. My house has got tons of trees, and it was horrible. And so I opened up the window, I looked out into the yard, and I walked out into the backyard. In the wind, I kind of looked like Moses. My hair was wild in the wind, and I had my rake as a staff, and I stood there, and I raised up my rake, and I said, "Cursed be this wind!" It may have been God's will to send the wind, but the things that transpire in our lives, even relationally, are to test our hearts. And Paul is saying, Corinthians, you don't like me right now because I've told you the exact truth you need to hear in the preceding five chapters. And then last year when he wrote to them 1 Corinthians, and you have not liked it. Because your heart has been reduced down to a thing that can't give love. You're hurt. You've become embittered, Corinthians. And Paul is calling them as a witness before God, I have loved you, I've cared for you, I've hid nothing from you, so what's the deal? He's forcing them to think, why are they withholding? And it happens here. Many people will come to this church sometimes just to sit for a little bit, because I get letters from people. Well, we came from such and such a church, we just hid out, and we just, you know, we're getting healing and all that stuff. I completely agree and understand how that goes. The beautiful thing is to get healing. God, look, make no mistake about it. No matter how cute you can dress up a church, it doesn't change a real biblical church. A real biblical church is a strange thing. It is a launch pad, like Cape Canaveral is a launch pad to send the gospel to the ends of the earth. At the same time, it's a hospital. And at the same time, it's a rehab center. And at the same time, it is a warrior mission, you know? The church is amazing as an organism, spiritual organism. And God meets the needs of wherever we may be.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Come Over Here. It's a study taken from chapters 6 and 7 of 2 Corinthians, where Paul admonishes believers not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Again, Come Over Here is the title, and it's actually a mini-series taken from Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse journey through 2 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Listen, have you signed up to receive Pastor Jack's weekly devotionals called Real Life Devotions? When you do, you'll find them in your inbox every Monday. Real Radio listeners love to get these devotionals, and they're telling us about it. Here's what one subscriber wrote. She says, "Dear Pastor Jack Hibbs, you are an amazing servant of the Lord. I'm forever grateful for your love and concern to spread the gospel and salvation in such a deep way. I enjoy learning and understanding the Bible more in depth. May God continue to bless you and the ministry. I will keep you in my prayers. Thank you for dedicating your life to Him. Even as a born-again believer raised in a Christian home, then going on to raise my own immediate family, I still find myself wanting to know Him in depth more and more, and His Word. Thanks again for your real-life devotions. Christine." Well, Christine, thank you for that. We really appreciate it. Really do. Kind and encouraging words indeed. Subscribe to Pastor Jack's Real Life Devotions. Visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Need to get in touch by phone? Here's the number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.